Hey, hi everybody, and now we continue. We're on number 43 of the Rays and Initiations, Initiations webinar commentaries, and we have gone through the six stages of building the Antikarana. There's probably so much that cannot be conveyed by words, as the Tibetan tells us. But there is much which we can learn intuitively by practicing and applying what we are told. So it will come to us in the correct form of practice. And then Alice Bailey added a couple of paragraphs from other places encouraging us to really get on the stick, to really increase our point of tension so that we could apply ourselves in a manner uncharacteristic, perhaps, of us, if we prefer a little bit more gentle, even lazier, neatly balanced approach to life. She's asking us to really apply ourselves with full power, increase the point of tension and build at least the part of the bridge for which we as soul infusing personalities are responsible. That's not all of the bridge because, as we've learned from above, comes the response, the evoked response of the monad working through the triad, and the higher part of the bridge is sent forth to meet the part for which we are responsible, and they swing into each other's field of demonstration or expression, and there is a contact made, and it results in a demonstration of light, fire, a demonstration of realization, which we had not had before. So this is a very subtle science, one that we can, for which we can trust DK. He has given us the proper method of proceeding, and then the rest is up to us. It may be difficult because we do not necessarily see or immediately feel the results of building the bridge. I think results will come slowly, but we have to have that much faith in the teacher. He's proven himself in so many ways, so the ability to plod along is much to be desired, and we have to learn how to put one foot in front of the other and keep moving even when the intended results are not obvious. Sincerity, sacrifice, and simplicity. The reorganization of standards of thought and of living, and the necessity for speed, organizing for speed. This was given to one of the disciples, and I think it has a lot to do with what is necessary for all of us. So going on, in the many strands of light woven by the aspirants, disciples, and initiates of the world, because, you know, we're all aspirants in a way, and if we begin this work around the time of the second initiation or when the requirements of the second initiation are in sight, then we are considered an aspirant. But we may also be at the same time a disciple or even an accepted disciple, and we are even at the same time a probationary initiate. But the Antikarana must continue to be built even by initiates because there are higher aspects of it which must be strengthened, stabilized, and used as the means of resurrection of the consciousness into the higher worlds. In the many strands of light woven by the aspirants, disciples, and initiates of the world, we can see the group Antikarana gradually emerging. And that's the important one. And all of these Antikaranas that extend even beyond the planet to other planets, sacred, and from the sacred planets to the sun, and on solar systemic Antikaranas, they are all in a way, group Antikoranas. Excuse me. Okay, then that bridge whereby humanity as a whole will be able to abstract itself from matter and form, that bridge is being built. And of course, I don't want that. This will be yet a little while, with the emphasis on little meaning long. excuse me. This building of the Antikorana is the great and ultimate service which all true aspirants, and every true aspirant has taken the first initiation, we're told, which all true aspirants can render. So this is not a selfish act, but a great and necessary act of selflessness. So when we're engaged in some of these occult activities, and we seem to be doing this for our little personal selves, we remember the larger objective which allows the content of the spiritual triad to reach human consciousness and ultimately the purpose of the monad, and ultimately then our ability to be a true one who expresses the divine plan and helps to bring it into objectivity. And that's a great service, isn't it? You know, our service is first to the plan. Okay. The immediate task ahead. What I have to say now is in the nature of a generalization. I would like to indicate as far as possible, asking you to remember that all generalizations are basically sound, but erroneous in detail. Okay, we do try to remember that. They convey the essential idea, but they are not aimed at articulating with accuracy the detail. I'd like to indicate the point where humanity stands in relation to the Antikorana. I think in our modern educational systems, we are working more and more towards bridging, and the fourth group of the C groups are particularly the Antikorana builders and the centers that they use, the head center, the Ajna center, and the, I think, throat center. I wonder if I'm correct about that. You know, of course, it sends me off on a big hunt, you know. Let's see if I'm correct. I should always have this open anyway, which is the Alice Bailey books, and we would go to the Discipleship of the New Age, and we would go to, I don't know, no, that's not going to do it. We would go here to about page 40, let's just say. Okay, a little, and what are the chakras which are being used? I think they come afterwards, so page 40 is just about right. The head, the Ajna, and the throat center. So that is correct for the educators who are the ones who bridge, and obviously there's a lot of third, fourth, and fifth ray. There's a lot of mercury there in the educational group where this type of bridging does go on. Okay. So, going on here. It might be said that the whole goal of normal evolution is to bring humanity to the point where a direct line of contact is established between the personality, let's just say, rather, a soul infused. Okay. Let's put that one in, if you don't mind. S-I-N-F. Soul infused. Rather soul infused. and the spiritual triad via the soul, or rather through the medium of using the soul consciousness to achieve this awareness. And that that soul consciousness has somewhat descended into the personality consciousness. Okay, personality consciousness. This is consummated at the time of the third initiation. And at this third initiation, we can have causal consciousness, or consciousness within the causal body. So we will now, for a minute, consider the monad. So we have to be in alignment. You know, alignment is the beginning, alignment is the beginning, and alignment is the end as well. A direct line of contact is established between the personality and the spiritual triad via the soul. And by the soul, we generally mean the shroud of the spiritual triad, or the scabbard of the spiritual triad, or a kind of individualized consciousness in which aspects of the spiritual triad are found. But really, the true soul, well, what can you say, the true soul, the spiritual triad is even more of a soul than is what we normally call the soul, but then the monad is even more of a soul. In other words, within whatever ring pass not, there is greater and greater consciousness. Those greater ring pass nots have more soul. And finally, we have the soul of the entire cosmos, which is the consciousness of the universal logos. Anyway, a kind of consummation of this alignment. So you can see that the building of the Antikorana has to be quite progressed, occurs at the third initiation. So a quite progressed building of the Antikorana is needed. At the third initiation, I think the person is somewhat before the third initiation, a chela on the thread. And that thread, in a way, I know it goes to the master and his energy system, but in a way, it's the thread that connects into the spiritual triad where the ashrams and the master are found. So let's see what we're going to do here. We will, for a moment, consider the monad. I would remind you that there is an analogy in the relation between the personality and soul to the triad and the monad. We have been discussing that. The personality is to the soul what the triad is to the monad. This is an analogy that is essentially complete from the standpoint of consciousness, but not from the standpoint of form. Let's just say that the aspects of the personality represent REP. That's a good one, right? So let's do that, REP. And we will say represent. The aspects of the personality represent different aspects of the soul. The aspects of the spiritual triad represent different aspects of the monad. None of them is complete in itself, but all three together represent what we find in a kind of synthesis within the monad. Did I say soul? If I did, I meant monad. The spiritual triad represents the different aspects of the monad. What finally takes place at the most advanced stage of development is the complete fusion of the unified personality and soul with the monad and spiritual triad. This is a duality, right? This is the kind of a consummation of the technique of duality. So we have the soul-infused personality representing matter, and we have the monad triad representing spirit. And let's just think, you know, has that been accomplished within us? A complete fusion of the loving personality with its dual aspects of intelligence and love, fused with the purpose and plan of the spiritual triad, the aspects of will being strongest in a way, but of course there's a great love wisdom in Buddhi, and there's a great comprehensive mind in the higher mental vehicle, the abstract mind. So what finally takes place at the most advanced stage of development is the complete fusion of the unified soul personality, unified personality and soul with unified monad and spiritual triad. We really need to remember that. Only when this has been truly accomplished is there the complete release of the lives informing our solar system from all form control. Now, this is going to be universal. Well, let's just say it's going to universal within the solar system, a state which is universal within the solar system. And we are a long way from it because we're only really halfway through our solar systemic evolution, just as we are halfway through our planetary evolution. So, you know, think of it, there is a sotologoic soul and a sotologoic personality, but one day that infusion will be somehow blended with the sotologoic monad and the sotologoic triad, and maybe this will be even in the last solar system. Probably this will occur within the last or sixth solar system. Then comes the synthetic seventh. Bear this carefully in mind, realizing the significance of the word service used so frequently in the occult science, and realizing also, see, in other words, the significance of the word service, and we might say here, through the Antikarana bringing release, and realizing also the fact that for aspirants and disciples, such as we are and hope to be, the immediate task ahead is, so these things have to be kept in mind, to bring about the at-one-ment of soul and body through the medium of alignment. Now, what is body? Body is personality. Just as the dense physical body of the planetary logos is the lower 18 subplanes, and the dense physical body of the solar logos is the lower 21 subplanes. Higher than that, the other 28 subplanes are etheric in nature. So the immediate task, you know, and obviously we want to do what it is we should do to hasten our evolution and make us more useful, to build the Antikarana using the six modes or means outlined by me previously and thus evoke response from the triad. I mean, you know, we use that word spiritual triad quite a bit, but do we ever slip into the consciousness of the triad? So how often do we really slip into the consciousness of the spiritual triad? Well, maybe when it happens for real, we will be able to compare it with our other states of consciousness, which are not that. The thought of alignment, invocation, evocation are the three major ideas for you to hold in mind as we proceed with this study. So, you know, the point of tension followed by visualization involves alignment. And then the stage of projection and the first stage of the fourth stage, invocation, evocation, which is invocation, is connected with invocation, and the rest are evocations from the second part of the fourth stage, involving also then the fifth and sixth stages. We have evocation, the response of the higher aspects of our nature, and the paving of the way for the rising up of the consciousness in freedom from what we normally call form, and in that freedom polarizing itself within the spiritual triad, as the masters of the wisdom have done, and also higher beings than they are, Chohans. The reason I'm giving out what was earlier regarded as some of the preparatory work prior to the third initiation, okay, let's remember what that is. You know, you can begin to do this in earnest, I think, when the second initiation understanding is at least in sight. Doesn't mean that you have to be taking the second initiation in that very life, because it was obvious that DK gave the building of the Antikarana to quite a few of those members on the periphery of his ashram who were not going to take the second initiation in that life, for sure. But anyway, he's giving out what was preparatory to the third degree. You know, at first, he said that he trained aspirants only for the first and second degree, and later came another statement which included training for the third degree. So it's due to the fact that the race is now at the point of development which warrants complete change in the approach to divinity as taught by hierarchy. Well, they can see this, and they can assess this, and they can give us the more advanced work, and hopefully we do respond as we should. This does not mean that past teaching is abrogated, but is shifted back to the earlier stages of the path of discipleship. I suppose the earlier stages, you know, have a lot to do with the period between the first and second initiation, because one is truly a disciple when one has taken the first initiation truly. Before that, one is a probationary disciple. And even up to the midway point between the first and second initiation, one is likely to be considered a probationary disciple until accepted discipleship comes upon one. So mostly between the first and second initiation. Whilst the teaching given in those stages now becomes the work done by the aspirants on the probationary path. So nothing is lost, but the standard is constantly raised. Emphasis has been laid upon purification, and I do think that some people relinquish that rather quickly, as if to say, oh, I've done that, when in fact they have not been thoroughgoing in that purification. And we have read about the purification of the astral body being a necessity to receive the true patterns of pure reason which are occurring on the Buddhic plane. So purification is something always to have in mind, but it rises through higher and higher vehicles, and it's ever more subtle. But anyway, emphasis has been laid upon purification, upon the need for the development of the Christ life. We might say, you know, the life of the soul, and upon the mystical vision, and upon philosophy. Well, maybe when we deal with philosophy, is about knowing rather than necessarily doing. And there's another one of those, N-E-C-L, and we'll make that necessarily. Oh, how about spelling correctly, okay? Necessarily. Oh, goodness. Let's just do it right. N-E-C-E-S-S. Necessarily. It's quite a word, quite a Saturnian word. So we have to learn not just to think about things and entertain them using philosophy as a consolation to perhaps an otherwise unfulfilled life, but we have to bridge from philosophy into occult philosophy, which places the emphasis not only on knowing, but on doing that which one knows. occult truths have been given to the race and have evoked much interest, criticism, and discussion. Well, let's see, that is the philosophical approach. They have appealed to all types of mind. They have been distorted and misapplied. Nevertheless, they have been instrumental in aiding advanced aspirants to move forward upon the path of discipleship with a paralleling moving forward of accepted disciples. So, an advanced aspirant has not yet reached, seems obvious, stage of an accepted disciple. And that's another one, isn't it? AD. So we'll call it accepted disciple. Yeah. And I suppose ADD would be ADD. Let's call this accepted discipleship. And hope for the best. Okay, so once firmly established upon the path, the truths become self-evident and individual application and verification can be made, leading the disciple to the portal of initiation. So without application and verification, there will be no initiation. So without application and verification, no initiation. So we have to stabilize our understanding here so that we're not just dealing with thoughts, but we're dealing with that which can be and will be applied. Nevertheless, the occult truths, occult philosophy has been given out, but it's in the systematic application of the truths given that accomplishment occurs. Now, I can say that, but have I applied it? We can all say it, but have we applied what we think we know? That's something, I don't think anybody scores 100% there, but that's something that we must answer for ourselves. The race as a whole now stands at the very entrance of the path of discipleship. And, and let's just say that path is related to the path of probationary initiation. See, because in a way, real discipleship begins at the first initiation. The racial gaze is forward to the vision. That shows you that Sagittarius is doing its work, maybe Taurus too. Whether it is the vision of the soul, that's rather high, a vision of a better way of life, many have that, of an improved economic situation, many have that, or of better interracial relationship. All of these are very important. All are very important. Uh-huh. There's another one. I hope you can forgive me for doing this, but it'll save time later. All are very important, all of these. And they lead gradually to the vision of the soul and to a vision which is beyond that. Okay, that this vision is oft distorted, that it is materially oriented or only partially seen, is sadly true. This is realism speaking, you know. This is, but in some form or another, there exists today an appreciable grasp of the new and desirable. Well, let's call that Uranus. And a bit of Jupiter. Uranus is the new and better way. And we are entering an age when Aquarius is paramount and ultimately Uranus, although the orthodox ruler, is also the paramount veiled esoteric hierarchical ruler. Therefore, the new and better ways are part and parcel of the Aquarius experience. So the new and desirable are seen, and people are no longer willing to live in such a deprived state as they have before, and this is causing a great unrest and a uprising of the will, which sets itself against the bad old ways. So the masses are seeing this, a thing hitherto unknown, because previously the masses were, if I could just spell it here, acquiescent. No, that's not bad. They were acquiescent, just accepted the state. In the past, it was the intelligentsia or the elect who were privileged to have the vision. Today, it is the mass of men. So one can see the disturbance. Let's call it a beneficent disturbance that this will bring. Humanity, therefore, as a whole, stands ready for a general realignment, a general alignment process. And I say, you know, this did not exist before the world wars, which cleared away much of the debris, let me spell, of the debris which stood in the way of alignment. And that is the spiritual reason which lay behind the world war, you know, the one world war from 1914 to 1945. And I think some of this probably was written in the midst of the Second World War. Then comes this statement from the old commentary, so poetic and evocative. The sharp shears of sorrow, right away you think of Pluto, don't you, must separate the real from the unreal. The lash of pain must awaken the sleepy soul to exquisite life. The wrenching away of the roots of life from the soil of selfish desire must be undergone. And then the man stands free. What an amazing statement. The sharp shears of sorrow must separate the real from the unreal. In our lives, it's probably been the case. The lash of pain must awaken the sleepy soul to exquisite life, because when we're under the domination of tamas, you know, that kind of inertia, which enforces a very low vibration, we cannot respond to exquisite life. So tamas is shocked, at least into rajas, by that lash of pain. And the wrenching away of the roots of life from the soil of selfish desire must be undergone. Where are our roots? The roots with the tree with the roots above and flower below. That's what we are, just like the tree of life. And still, so many of us think we are rooted in the soil, which is basically the result of the decay of forms. So when all of these things are applied to us and the shock enters our life, then we're raised to a higher vibratory level in which freedom can be attained. So runs the old commentary in one of its more mystical stanzas, more, I think, you know, poetic stanzas. Thus it points prophetically to the close of the Aryan race. Is that now? Not a close in the sense of completion, but a closing of the cycle of mental perfecting. Let's just say there is more to the Aryan, A-R-Y-N, root race than mental perfecting. The other aspects of mind must be explored and unified with the concrete mind. And there's another good one, CM. concrete mind. Okay. Preparatory to the cycle wherein the mind will be rightly used as the instrument of alignment, then as the searchlight of the soul, and as the control of the personality. So these are higher functions of the mind. And three minds must unite, however we consider those three minds to be. From one perspective, they are the concrete mind, son of mind within the second and third subplanes of the mental planes, and then the abstract mind. From another perspective, the three minds are the concrete mind, the abstract mind, and the kind of mind that one finds on the atmic plane, which is the third plane, and thus correlated with mind. In different contexts, you get different three minds unite. I think we'd be doing very well, though, to get the first three of those minds united, and then we could lift up into the transcendental mind of Buddha and the mind of law, which is atmic nirvanic. Well, one day experience will fill all the words we use. Excuse me. For the masses, under the slow processes of evolution, the next step forward is the aligning of soul and form. Okay. And that's the masses, and that's now. So that there can be a blending in consciousness following on a mental appreciation of the Christ principle and its deep expression in the life of the race. So, you know, Venus and loving mind will supervene. And that's coming for the masses because, you know, there's been a lot of very public education, and many, many people are becoming educated who were out of the range of that possibility of education before. And as a result, they will be in a position to do the kind of meditation which will bring light and love into the mind. This is something which can be seen quite clearly emerging if you have the eyes to see. Obviously, we don't have the eyes of a master, but I think there's a much greater kind of education which is sweeping the earth, and I think our internet is part of that, and we've been told, you know, within every 6 or 5 miles all over the world, there will be the possibility of computer and internet, and thus a tuning in into the world of knowledge. And light will come to humanity in a new form, an era of universal education. It is evident in the universal interest in goodwill, leading eventually to peace. There's the formula. From goodwill to peace. This desire for peace may be based on individual or national selfishness, or upon a true desire to see a happier world wherein man can lead a fuller spiritual life and base his efforts upon truer values. Okay, remember the first ray. First ray, initiate, preservation, let's spell it correctly, of values is the goal of the first ray initiate, something like that. It can be seen in all the planning which is going on for a new world order, certainly at the time that this was written and hopefully continuing, based on human liberty, Uranus, lords of liberation, belief in human rights and human relations, liberty, equality, fraternity. All the air signs are involved there, coming into strength during the Aquarian age. It is demonstrating also in the work of the great humanitarian movements, the welfare organizations, and the widespread evocation of the human mind through the network of educational institutions throughout the world. These are the demonstration of truer values emerging. The desire for peace is here the subject, and all these things do lead to peace. Goodwill, truer sense of truer values, planning for a better world order based upon the welfare of human beings, their liberty, their rights, their right relations, humanitarianism, meeting the needs through welfare of the right kind, not just creating dependency, and the use of the mind for education. So all of these, let's just say, lead to peace. You know, peace, there are universities which teach peace. What is that university in Costa Rica that Robert Mueller started? Anyway, it is a university dedicated to peace, and it's a complex approach. There are many, many strands which lead to peace. Probably every one of the ashrams has to have its type of expression. If peace is to result, it's has to do with education, with finance, with art, with technology and science, with idealism. It has to do with order. It has to do with the right use of the will. You know, just running through the kinds of expressions that the ashrams have. The Christ spirit is expressively present, and the failure to recognize this fact has been largely due to the prevalent human effort to explain and interpret this phrase solely in terms of religion. So, Christ spirit much greater than the narrow religious approach, or let's call it explanations. Whereas the religious interpretation is but one mode of understanding reality. So in a way, the sixth ray and its approach have dominated and covered the other valuable approaches, and that is ending now. There are others, approaches of equal importance, and this is the Tibetans' attempt to define spirituality not in terms of one ray alone, but in terms of the combination of all the seven. All the great avenues of approach to reality are spiritual in nature and interpretive of divine purpose. And this is so important for us to redefine the nature of spirituality. It's not simply the religious approach that tends to be utterly narrow and tends to give an unwarranted sense of pride and superiority to those who are taking the strictly religious approach. All the great avenues of approach to reality are spiritual in nature and interpretive of divine purpose, and whether the religious Christian speaks of the kingdom of God, it's legitimate, of course, or the humanitarian emphasizes the brotherhood of man, maybe, you know, strongly on the second ray or somewhat on the seventh, or the leaders against evil head the fight for the New World Order, the first and seventh rays there, or for the four freedoms or the Atlantic Charter, they all express the emergence of the love of God in its form of the Spirit of Christ. So let us at last, I'm sure, you know, the readers and listeners here have done it, but let us broaden our approach to spirituality. And, you know, eschew the narrowness of the sixth ray, which has dominated our thinking for 2,000 years. Of course, there's still, we're told interestingly, 21,000 years left in a higher sixth ray cycle, which is part of a greater fourth ray cycle. All these things will be part of our understanding as we approach closer to hierarchical member ship, incorporation into the ashram. Humanity in the mass has therefore reached a point of emergence from darkness. Well, it's becoming the world disciple, and if it's true, and I believe it to be true, that the first initiation of a certain portion of humanity is coming, then it's humanity is not only the world disciple, an impending condition, but will be the world initiate of the first degree. Humanity will be initiated, or at least in its upper brackets it will be, and that will affect everyone and everything within the human race. It has itself evoked the reaction of the powers of evil because of the good emerging. Good emerging within itself. And hence their attempt, that is, the powers of evil, to arrest the progress of the human spirit, which can never be done ultimately, DK assures us, and to stop the onward march of the good, the true, and the beautiful. So one can almost see the acts of the Black Lodge. Well, as acts of desperation. Their defeat is imminent, as Madame Rurik once assured a meeting of the Black Lodge on the astral plane. One can only imagine the courage that it took to do that. And as DK has assured us, the defeat of the Black Lodge is imminent. It may be until the judgment day in the fifth round that they are totally banished from our planet, but a major driving back of these forces is imminent, especially with the reappearance of the Christ, who is, through his vast power of love, their greatest enemy. Aspirants and probationer disciples are occupied with a definite process of focusing their consciousness in the soul. Okay, this seems clear. The aspirant occurs a little bit before the probationary disciple. The probationary disciple is an aspirant who's taking things a little more seriously. This process falls into two parts. So what is that? An intensification of the personality life so that it is developed to its highest individualistic powers. And, if we think about the egoic lotus, shows this in the kind of work, kind of work and expression found in relation to the fifth petal, the Leo petal of the egoic lotus. And I'm going to just put that in relation to. I got tired of waiting for some kind of resurrection of my defunct computer, and just decided to put these in because it's necessary. So, when we go through the Leo phase in the second stage, in the second grouping of petals, second circle of petals, the early part of it is very individualistic, but later in the work of that petal, we do become the aspirant, and still later when the petal is fully unfolded, it is the signal that the first initiation has been taken. Okay, so there's the intensification of the personality life in aspirants and probationary disciples, and a process also of moving forward into the light and of conscious soul contact. And I just want to call this a later fifth petal process. It's so interesting, the sort of phenomena that occur in our energy system simultaneously with the increase of consciousness. I suppose, there are indications when one examines the egoic lotus of where a person really does stand. Okay, so in consciousness, where they stand in consciousness. This involves the earlier stages of the alignment process, which is a mode of focused, concentrated effort according to the ray and the life purpose of the soul. So this is soul and personality alignment. And that's that moving forward. And, you know, we see a lot of people on the world stage and on the national stage who are definitely in the personality phase. They're in the stage when what they mostly see is their own personality expression. It is a stage one goes through, but it is a dangerous stage in many ways. And it is insufficiently solicitous of the development of others because the personality looms too large within the field of consciousness. So according to our ray and life purpose of the soul, there is a stage of alignment which we go through. This may take the form of a profound application to some scientific endeavor or a deep concentration on the spiritual work of the world, or it may be a complete dedication to a humanitarian effort when we really start moving into the stage of soul alignment. It matters not. So all this describes a moving forward into soul alignment. It's beyond the intensification of the personality life, though one might use a fairly well developed personality to be the foundation of such a penetration, such an alignment into the with the higher possibilities. I would call your attention to this statement. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter along which line this application occurs, this concentration, this endeavor, you know, really a concentrated endeavor along one of the ray lines. So it doesn't matter along one of the ray lines. Oops, sorry. You know, the particular period through which the individual is passing may see a ray in power which reinforces his own efforts or which are not so much in harmony with his own efforts. But still, the line that he chooses is his own individual line, and all of them are needed. I would call your attention to that statement. It matters not. In every case, the motivating power must be betterment. It's a Uranian power, really, a Jupiterian power. It must be carried forward by extreme effort. Well, there's Mars, and all of us who are applying ourselves to the life of discipleship know the nature of this effort. But given right motive and the effort to develop simultaneously a good character and a stable purpose, the aspirant or probationary disciple will eventually find that he has succeeded in establishing a definite soul relation. So this is what many have to go through, and some of us have gone through it, and some of us are going through it, and some of us have yet to go through it, but it is a necessity. Right motive and the foundation of a good character which does not cause divisions in our relations with others and therefore does not work against right human relations and does not work against group consciousness. And our purpose cannot be fleeting, appearing now and then. It has to be stable and consistent. So a definite soul relation will be established. And that's the first step, definitely needed, before we can begin to talk about the areas and the energies into which the Antikorana can reach. He will have discovered that the path of contact between soul and brain via the mind has been opened, and that he has mastered the first stage in the needed alignment process, kind of suggests the first degree. Okay, fourth degree, no. First degree. Okay, FD. And so, you know, we can assess where we stand. You know, most of DK's books on psychology and so forth are written for initiates of the first degree, it is assumed that many of his dedicated readers and those who attempt to carry out what he suggests will have taken the first degree. When this has been accomplished, the man passes on to the path of discipleship, and that really, really occurs at the first degree, and can undertake the work I am outlining for you in this treatise. Well, you know, we can also ask this. Does discipleship mean accepted discipleship? ACDD. Let's write that one down. Does discipleship mean accepted discipleship? Accepted, that's not good. I've got better get that one together. ACDD. accepted discipleship. And this is discipleship, and I want to correct something I've done here. So please bear with me. ACD. I'm going to change this. Replace accepted disciple. ACD. That's not doing it. Accepted disciple. Yeah. Well, there is where true discipleship begins. So this is accepted discipleship. Thus, you can see how the entire human family has reached a central and most important point upon the evolutionary path. And this, you know, this should encourage confidence, as a result of which we can do better work. Because when we believe in ourselves, you know, not to the point of pride, but really believe in ourselves, energy flows and we are more successful. The immediate path ahead for all, each in his own place, is to stand with right orientation. Notice to stand in spiritual being with right orientation, undeterred by circumstance, and then unflinchingly move forward. Do you detect a little bit of the first ray and the will in here? I certainly do. So DK has something of the first ray, he says, in his spiritual triad. So let's see where we are here. This is about will and the first ray. Well, okay. I think we have reached a point in this little discussion. So let's call this the end of Rays and Initiations webinar commentary number 43. And page is what? Well, where are we? Up to page 500, I think. And previously we were on 496, I think. Excuse me. Looks like 496. So 496 to page 500. And what I'll do here is copy this. And I'll call it something else in a minute. I try to get this to be clear, you know, and sometimes the red shows up and sometimes it doesn't. And I really want to make sure that that my inserts do show up. So this will be the end of Rays and Initiations, number 43. And 496-500, and the next one is the beginning of Ray's Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 44. No, what am I doing? Okay. Right. Number 44. And this is starting on page 500. Page 500, and the day here is the 19th. We're just about to go with the ingress in Aquarius in this year, 2017, Hope some of you, members of the Blue Rose Sisterhood, will be able to join us for that. Okay, friends, so that's it for the moment. And we'll go on to number 44 when the time allows. Thank you, and we will proceed together.